Let's begin. We got a few lines into Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. We just had concluded that the Gemara was going back and forth. Who was the opinion that held Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph? Who was the opinion that held that we're choshish lemisa, we're concerned that someone may die, and who was the opinion that thought otherwise? So the Gemara had concluded that Rabbi Meir was choshish lemisa, and just to help you remember, we connect it to what Adam had suggested in general. Meir is choshish lemuta, so maybe that's a similar svar here. He's choshish lemisa, and Rabbi Huda was not choshish lemisa. Now the problem is, though, when it comes to the other halacha of choshish of the barrel breaking, remember the guy had bought a bucket of wine. And he said, at the end of the day, I'll drink. At the end, I'll leave over Truma and Meiser to give it at the end. Now, there was a machlokas. Are we concerned? Let's say he drinks it. It might break. And he might drink it.
That's
and
what
you
said yesterday?
Yeah.
Wine.
It's fine. So,
I'm not the cow.
So we spoke about the wine at the end. So the concern was, if I leave it over for the end, so the whole barrel might crack. And I'll never end up taking Truma and Meiser because it all goes to waste. So it turned out I ate wine or drank wine, then it was still Tevel before you took Truma and Meiser from it. So the other opinion says, no, we're not so concerned that's going to happen. It's not going to break. You could drink the wine now and you'll leave the wine at the end. So there's machlokas whether or not you're concerned that the barrel might break. So Rabbi Meir said, we're not concerned. Rabbi Meir allowed you. What?
Kiyata nod?
Yes. The node is not quite a barrel. What's exactly a node is a jar of some sort, jug, I don't know. So Rabbi Meir was not concerned it was going to break. So why, by the wine case, Rabbi Meir was not concerned it will break, but by the Misa case, he is concerned that a person might die? It should be consistent. And number two, Rabbi Huda, who is not Choshesh Lemisa, is Choshesh that the node might break. So you should be consistent. You should either be concerned both cases or you shouldn't be concerned both cases. So that's where we are now in the Gemara, four lines from the top. Kasha de Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. So what comes out, as I just said, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Meir holds you are choshesh lemisa, but you are not choshesh lebikias anod. So Amalchai Rabbi Meir responds and explains his opinion. Misa shchicha bikias anod lo shchicha. Very simple. Dying is something that's common that could happen, and bikias anod, breaking of the node, is not so frequent. Why? Efshir demasal la shomer. You could give the node to a shomer to watch over it and to make sure and put it protected in a safe or whatever it might be to ensure that it won't break. Misa, you can't give it to a shomer, obviously. Misa is not in your hands. So it's actually sounds like two different svaras. One svar seems like it's an issue of statistics, and the next one seems to say just one's in your hand, one's not in your hand. So it sounds like the stronger opinion is really, since it's really, I guess, a combination. Since you give the node to somebody to watch, then it's not very common for it to break. People usually put it in a safe place. Misa, which is completely out of your hand, it's something that could just happen at any given moment. Therefore, it's considered more common and out of your hand. So that's how Rabbi Meir explains the difference.
I found out graphically, it's a little hard. It's a little hard to understand. Because a person only has so much opportunity to control their future. I mean, why should... Yeah, you can put it in the hands of a shomer. But Lamaisa, just like if Hashem wants someone to die, Hashem can create the kias and no. Same like from Hashkafa. Not really Gemara, but from Hashkafa question. So you give it to a shomer. Very good. You do a shtablis. Why does that make the kias and node any more...
risky.
Less risky.
I mean, the one difference is that...
it's like we're acknowledging that the frequency of its breaking is totally in your activities.
No, because Mikadani is a domem. How do you say domem in English?
It's an inanimate object.
Inanimate. A person is a life thing. And it's more shachiach that something will happen to a person that's an inanimate.
Inanimate.
Thank you. You're right. You're absolutely right. If Hashem wants, he can fall with the safe and break. But
it's almost like we're saying that a person's money is totally on their own action.
To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, it's a combination. At the same time, you could say a person's life also depends on what he does with his life. And mitzvahs of Eros, that's also in his hand to a certain extent. There's obviously a certain combination. Obviously, Akash Baruch runs everything, but we have a certain amount of bechiras. Chavshis, you're questioning, so why is there a difference here? I could also be a shomer of my own body by doing the right things. Eating healthy, doing mitzvahs.
Hey, but it's not up to you. Because you can walk the street and you have 1,000 other gorumim that can make you die.
Right.
So much can go wrong.
Same thing with the... same thing with a node, though. Because node, so much could go along. But
is there static, doesn't move? What can happen?
Right. Okay. Interesting question. So the Gemara continues now. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Kasher de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned of Misa, but he was concerned that the node's going to crack. So that seems to be inconsistent. So the Gemara says, "Time of Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum dechayish lebekias node." You misunderstood the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't say, right, Rabbi Yehuda held, you can't drink wine and leave over at the end. We assume the reason why you can't leave it over the end was because it might break, and all the wine's going to go to waste, and you'll never be able to take Truma and Meiser. And what turned out is, retroactively, you drink Teva wine, because you never took Truma. That was misunderstood. That wasn't the reason. It's not because of it might break. Ella, mishum deles lebreira. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a brera in general. Brera means you can't do things retroactively. You could do things moving forward. But I can't say, I'm going to eat the wine now because later on I'm going to take truma, and the truma will retroactively allow me to undo the tevel retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda in general doesn't hold a brera. You can't do things retroactive. You have to do things mikanu laba. You have to do things moving forward in the right direction. It's all cause not because of brera. So the Gemara continues and says, is it really true Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that the node might break? I'll bring you a brisa that proves that he does. He is concerned. The reason is because b'kias node. From the very fact that the sefer says, Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir again said, you could take the drink the wine now and leave truma for the end. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Meir, aren't you concerned that the whole node, the jar, the jug is going to crack? And in the end of the day, it's going to turn out, since the guy won't have the opportunity for Truma and Meiser, it turns out the guy ends up eating Tevel. So shouldn't he be concerned it's going to break? And Rameir says to Rabbi Yehuda, when it breaks, I'll be concerned. But it didn't break, so I'm not concerned that it's going to break. Now, we see from here Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda says, aren't you concerned it's going to break? The reason Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I think it's going to break, and since I think it's going to break, you can't drink the wine now until you actually took Tevel. Until he took Truman Meiser, rather. So Rabbi Yehuda does hold of L'shem Yivake node.
I know. How it connects to what it connects? What the discussion is in regards to what issue?
The breaking of the node?
The node and the person dying.
Because the question, are we concerned that events are going to happen? That's the...
In regards to the para that's using as a wall?
No. Yeah. Well, they're connected to that because... Are we concerned that the cow is going to die and the wall will fall over? So through that discussion, are we concerned...
That they came to this. Okay.
Exactly. So now it comes out here, Rabbi Yehuda had an inconsistency. He was concerned of death, but he wasn't concerned it might break. We said, oh, the reason why he doesn't allow you to take to drink the wine is not because he's concerned that's going to break or not break. He's not concerned events will happen. You look at it now. Events will not happen. He's not concerned somebody's going to die. He's not concerned that the node's going to break. So if he's not concerned, why did Rabbi Yehuda say that you can't drink wine now? Because he doesn't say it brera, a completely different halacha. You can't do things retroactively. But we just brought a brisa now, which recorded the dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, aren't you concerned that the node might break? And from that, it seems clear Rabbi Yehuda himself must hold that he is concerned that it's going to break. So we see Rabbi Yehuda is concerned of events taking place. The Gemara says, no. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda who... The Kamer le Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Yehuda saying, within the world of Rabbi Meir, he says, according to what you hold, according to you, Rabbi Meir, that you're concerned of events happening. For example, you're concerned that the someone might die. You should also be concerned here by the node that it might break. But Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Yehuda, completely different. I don't hold of any events happening. But the reason why I hold you can't do it is because Leslie Breira. I don't hold a Breira. But El Didcha, according to you, Rabbi Meir, the Yesh La Brera, you hold a Brera, you can do things retroactively. Aren't you concerned that it might break? Meaning the first question when dealing with this case of wine, where you drink the wine and leaving over for the end, the first question is, do you hold a Brera or do you not hold a Brera? If you don't hold a Brera, there's nothing to talk about. Yehuda doesn't hold a Brera, case closed. You can't drink the wine now. But if you hold a Brera, like Rabbi Meir does hold of, you can do things retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda has a secondary question. Well, according to you, Rabbi Meir, so even though you allow Breira things to happen retroactively, you should still be concerned that before you take the Truma and Meiser, the whole node might break. And you never had the opportunity to take the Truma and Meiser off, and turns out you ended up eating Tevo. And to that, Rabbi Meir responds, I'm not concerned, the Gemara doesn't explain why, but I'm not concerned that it's going to break. If it breaks, I'll be concerned. Why? Because you could give it to a shomer, like the Gemara said above. Since you could give the node to a shomer to protect, I'm not so concerned that's going to happen. But it's something that's not in the hands of people, that's about death, that no one could stop that from happening, then he's concerned that event may happen. Okay, now Lemaisa, in terms of Breira, just as an aside, we usually pass when it comes to halachas, midderaisa halachas, we hold Breira does not work. When it comes to Dine Dirabanan, the Gemara says we do hold a Breira. A case came up recently, and someone asked me about this, about a case of Tfilas Kalim. Not that recently, but Tfilas Kalim. So he wanted to know, the person had bought a bunch of candy dishes, and he wanted to give them out as he went on. Wow. So he bought candy dishes and wanted to give him candy dishes, you know, like a dish to give like as a guest.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to somebody's house for Shabbos, he wanted to give them out. So he wanted to be tovel all the kalim, all the dishes, so they don't have to be tovel later on. The problem is, though, he doesn't know who he's going to give which dish to. So if I'm, let's say, toveling on your behalf, so I could tovel on your behalf, but nobody owns it right now. If I have a store, let's say, and nobody owns it, I can't just take things off the shelves and tovel it. And when a person buys it, he doesn't have to tovel it. You have to have ownership for it. The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, a store owner can't tovel things on behalf of future buyers. He wanted to know if he could do this. He said he had a mind for whoever it's going to get, but he didn't know who was going to get to, which host was going to give it to, who he's going to give it to. He wanted to know whether he could be tovel on whoever's going to get it. So the halacha we said was that it's Breira, but it's Breira on a deraisa level. Tfilas Kalim is a deraisa. So Breira means whoever's going to get it retroactively, when I toveled it, a week ago is really for this person who's going to get it. That's Breira. We don't allow Breira to work when it comes to Dine Deraisa. So we said, you know, we have to probably tovel it. When you know who you're giving it to, then on his behalf, you know who's getting it, then you can be tovel it for him. But until that point, it would be an issue of Breira on a Deraisa level.
Why people want to run in advance? You open the gift. It's not, you know, they think that...
Well, not everybody tovel is the Kalim, so that he was concerned if he gives it to somebody, they won't be tovel. He wanted to... Or at least, give a present that could be used right away.
And the fact he has Bibles on it right now, I mean, he owns it, he bought it, he owns it right now, doesn't allow him to do the Tfilas Kalim.
Because he's similar to a store owner. A store owner, right now, he owns, it's his merchandise. But the Gemara's and Shulchan Aruch Paskins, merchandise cannot be toveled. You have to have ownership to it. Okay. The Gemara says now, V'lo chayish Rabbi Huda l'misa? Is Rabbi Huda really not concerned with misa? Again, Rabbi Huda, we learned yesterday's daf that he is not concerned with misa. He allows you to use a cow, he's not concerned it's going to die. He allows, if a kohen goes overseas, the wife could still eat the truma because he's not concerned that the kohen might die. But we're about to bring a proof right now, a Mishnah that tells us he is concerned with death. What's the Mishnah? Hopefully you're familiar with this from last Masechta.
You are.
Yeah. You looked ahead?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you remember it anyways.
Yeah.
V'ha'tanan, doesn't the Mishnah in the first Mishnah of Yuma say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha, Acheres, Maskinen Lo, Shema Tamas Isha. So the Gemara told us that we need to have a backup Kohen. Gadol, in case the Kohen Gadol gets Tama or dies, we need a backup Kohen Gadol. In addition to that, Rabbi Yehuda added, you need a backup wife. But let's say the Kohen Gadol's wife dies, the Pasuk tells us, Beiso, Zu Isha, the Mishnah tells us, you need to be married to the Kohen Gadol. So you need a backup Isha in a whole like complicated way, how to get it to be, of the get and t'nai, you need a backup Isha. So here Rabbi Huda is concerned that the wife might die. He is concerned of Misa. So Gemara says, Ha itmar Allah amar Rav Huna b'rei de Rishu. It was said on this, Ma la'asu b'kapara. This is a special level they made for kapara. See, Rashi says b'kapara, it's a little higher up than where we are in the Gemara. B'kapara, b'kapara yom kippurim, asam bo ma'alazu. They made a special chumrah. In general, we're not concerned with Misa, but Yom Kippur, we had an extra backup just in case because we have higher standards. We have higher standards, and therefore we had a backup wife. But really, we're not concerned with Misa. So Tosfos Yeshanim here, or not here actually, in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, has two opinions whether or not the requirement of an Isha is really a requirement or simply a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Yeah.
It's called Tosfot.
Normally it's called Tosfos. There's Tosfos Yisharim, there's Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, there's Tosfos Rosh, Tosfos Stam.
Tosfot is an addition, add, Tosafot.
Correct.
Adding, okay.
So on the page, that's Tosfos. On Yuma, on the bottom, on the side, we have Tosfos Yisharim. Other Masechtas, we have Tosfos Rosh on the side. Sometimes there's separate Svarim, which include Tosfos Rosh. So Tosfos Stam is just Tosfos. Now, so Tosfos Yisharim says that the idea of having a wife is only mitzvah min mufchar, and this raya is because when you have a backup Kohen Gadol, we don't make sure he has a wife, or we don't make sure he has a backup wife. So the fact that we don't make sure that backup Kohen Gadol has a backup wife tells us it's only mitzvah min mufchar, but it's not a li'kuva, it's not a chiv. So what comes out is that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir on a mitzvah min mufchar. It's just a fascinating thing. The fact that you need a wife itself is only mitzvah min mufchar. And on that mitzvah min mufchar, he's machmir to have a backup wife to be mekayim the din of a mitzvah min mufchar. That's what Tosfos Shoshan points out. His second opinion, he says, no, he thinks having a wife is actually ikuva. You have to have it, and if you don't have it, the Kohen Gadol can't serve on Yom HaKippurim. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Bein l'man damer shema tamus, bein l'man damer shema tivrach, going back to the Gemara from yesterday with a cow. Whether it's the opinion that felt that the cow might run away or the cow might die, either way, midaraisa mechitza ma'aliyeh. The cow itself is really a good mechitza. Rather, it's Rabbanan hu degazer, but it's simply a gzeir, the chacham were concerned something might happen, either it runs away or it dies, but midaraisa it's good. Elmiyat, if that's the case, that real midaraisa it's a good wall, the Rebbe Meir, titma mishum golo. Rebbe Meir, who held that it's a good wall, he should say that it's going to be Tameh Mishim Golo. What's Golo? Did Rashi explain to what his opinion is here? He doesn't explain his opinion here. Yeah, he does, I think. Let's see. That doesn't explain. So Golo was, yesterday's daf, I didn't go into it, I mentioned it. So Rashi and Tosfos have a machlok is whether Golo is the cover of a coffin, or Golo is something that goes on top of the kever. It's the outside, above ground. And either whatever the golel is, whichever definition you use, golel is something that's metame. So if a person touches the golel of a mace, he's going to become tame. Let's say you use an animal as a golel, so are you going to become tame if you touch this animal, which is above the mace? So according to Rabbi Meir, who held that a animal is a good wall, it should also be a good golel. A good golel means it should also become, it should be metame a person. But now we'll see, Alama Tanan, why does the Mishnah tell us that the Mishnah in Erevin, that Rabbi Yehuda mitame mishim golel, and Rabbi Meir mitayer? Machlokas whether or not a animal used as a golel is mitame or not. And Rabbi Meir's opinion is it's mitayer. So this is inconsistent. Is a animal a good structure or not a good structure? When it comes to a wall,
for
a grave cover, is it a good structure or not a good structure? When it comes to the sukkah, we just proved it is a good wall. It's only midrabanan, he doesn't let you use it. When it comes to golel, he says, it's not a good golel. Well, is it a good structure or is it not a good structure? That's the Gemara's question. So, Ela Amar Rav Acha, Barah Yaakov, they say differently. Kesavah Rabbi Meir, kol mechita she'omedes beruach, eino mechita. Rabbi Meir holds no. It's not a good wall at all. It's not a good structure. Just like Rabbi Meir thinks it's not a good golel, it's not a good golel, which means it's not going to be metame person, so too it's not a good wall either. It's not because there's a concern it might run away or the concern it might die. It's not a good wall. Why? Because this klal is, kol mechita she'omedes beruach eino mechita. Rashi tells us, omedes beruach ayidei ruach.
Meaning it's alive.
It's alive, exactly. The spirit, the neshama, whatever animal has a nefesh, keeps it, the breathing keeps it alive and standing, that the ruach is holding it up. It's not the structure itself that's holding it up. See, Rashi says, la mechita hi, what keeps it standing is something that has no mamashes. It's air. It's the life source, which you can't. It's not tangible. For a wall to be a wall, it has to be something that's mamashes, could stand up, physically stand up because of some mamashes, not because of the ruach that's in the animal. And therefore, across the board, in every situation where Meir holds, it's not a good structure, an animal. Ikadamri, there's another version of Rav Meir. Ikadamri, I'm a Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kasavar, Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds. Anything that's not man-made is not considered a wall. Since, of course, a cow is not man-made, that won't serve as a wall. So two opinions why a cow is not a good wall. Not because of a gzera, because midaraisa, it's not a good wall. Either because it's a ruach that holds it up, or because it wasn't man-made.
Since,
which one? The second one?
The second one. What we got down. First one. Ruach.
Yeah? I don't know. Why does that make more sense necessarily?
Because if you... compare it to mechitza, or mashveze to mechitza. So, any kind of human, live, living thing, usually won't be a mechitza. It's a man-made something, so a wall, fence, whatever, it's a man-made in that regard. So it's automatically make more sense than than a diner, that because it's Ruach Chaim, which is not the Mamashut, doesn't fit. Doesn't sit with the mind.
I'm not sure, what's the difference between these two opinions? Okay, like, what I was going to say,
Nafkamina. Mechitzais is a wood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not an animal, right? Therefore, the Taina, which Ein Mamashut, because it's Ruach Chaim, so it's not good for Mechitza, doesn't make sense. To begin with.
But you have to define, what's a wall? Is a wall simply a separation of something?
In regards to Mechitza, yes, separation.
I'm saying, so if it's a separation, so anything that separates could be good. Why does it have to be that, why is Ruach a disqualification, or why is the fact that it's a man-made a disqualification? Anything that separates, it serves to enclose something, should suffice.
Yeah, but that's only one criteria from the whole picture, that it separates. On top of it, there's different dinim, meaning an animal. You won't put an animal as a mechitza because it will run, because it will die, because it will whatever. Not because...
Okay, I hear.
Man-made. A man-made made it for that purpose. An animal, a person, it's not.
Okay. Okay, I didn't think about it so much, but either way, the Gemara says, my benai, what's the difference? Is there a nafkamina, a halachic difference between these two approaches? Ike benai, the Gemara says, de okme benod tafach. Let's say you took a leather pouch or a leather, I don't know, jug, you blew air into it. So would that work as a wall now? You blew up a balloon, let's say, or so a beach ball. Leman damar mechitza.
That's good.
A beach ball?
No. That's example.
Yeah.
Which is ruach, which is en mamashut. Yeah. But
it's man-made.
It's a man-made.
That's the nafkamina. Perfect. So Gemara says, let's understand this. Leman damar mechitza omedes beruach, ein mechitza hari omedes beruach. This isn't good because the ruach is the air you blew in is keeping it standing. That's not going to be a good mechitza. But leman damar ein asuya bidadam hare asuya bidadam. If it's man-made, this in fact is man-made because a person blew his air into it. So if this is man-made, it would work. Amar Mar. Mar says now, we quoted this yesterday, I told you we'll get into this today. Amar Mar. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amru af ein kosin alav gite nashim. You can't use an animal to write a get on. You thought it's pretty obvious. You said, don't you have to write it on a cloth, you asked yesterday? Mar says, my time Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why does he disqualify writing a get on an animal? The Tana, the Brisa tells us, the Gemara in Gittin, Sefer, the Pasuk says, I read the whole Pasuk on the side here, Usneha Isha Achron, and the husband hates the wife, because of La Sefer Krisis, Venasim Biada. If they write a Sefer Krisis, that's the Pasuk. So the Gemara Darshans, Sefer, in the other Sefer, I only know you could write it on a book, a cloth, let's say. Minayin, the rabble, is called Davar. How do I know I could write it on anything I want? I could write, Rashi says, on a piece of wood, or an olive leaf. How do I know I could write it on anything that takes writing on it? Talmud Lomar, V'chasav La, and you write it to her. You write anything you could possibly write, you write it. The emphasis is not on safer, the emphasis is on v'chasav. Anything you could actually write on will work. Well, if this v'chasav includes everything, imkain, matamalomer safer. So why does it specify safer? Safer sound like only cloth, nothing else. V'chasav sound like anything possible. So if chasav, we're learning the drasha, chasav means everything you could write on. What does safer come to exclude? Why is it mentioned safer? Ma safer davar sheim ruachayim ve'ena ochel af kol davar sheim ruachayim ve'ena ochel. Just like safer is something that has no life to it and cannot eat, so to anything else that has no life to it and cannot eat, this sefer comes to exclude writing it on an animal. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili's raya. Okay. Then the Gemara says, now Rabbanan, that's only according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Rabbanan allow you to write on an animal. You can write a get on the animal.
On a dead animal.
Is it only dead? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Is it only dead? Right. Okay. So assume even a live animal. So Rabbi Banan, how do they learn these psukim here? So Rabbi Banan, e kasa b'sefer. If it said ba sefer with a bays in the sefer, kid the commerce, like you said, was a very good drasha. But hashta the ksiv sefer, it just says sefer. The spheres dvar malmahu the asim. Sefer is not coming ba sefer. That means you have to daf could do it in a sefer. So that would come to exclude only in a sefer and not writing on an animal. But it simply says sefer, So that tells me, Sipur Devarim, Sfiras Devarim Ba'almahu, to us. It just comes to tell me, you have to explain, you can't just give a piece of paper, you have to describe what's going on in the piece of paper. And Rashi tells us, what are you describing? Does Rashi say this? Rashi doesn't, he doesn't say this, but you have to say, Harayat Muteris L'chol Adam. You have to have that language of, you are now mutter to the entire world. You have to explain that within the get. And that's what Rabban used from the word Sefer. Everybody agrees the word V'chasav teaches me you can write on anything you want. The question is, what does Sefer come to do? Rabbi Yossi Aglieli says Sefer comes to exclude writing on an animal. Rabban said, no, you can write on an animal. Sefer comes to tell me that you have to describe within the get what exactly you're trying to accomplish with a person's wife. Now,
So Sefer Mishon Sipur. Not Sefer Mishon Klaf. Because if it was
exactly.
Bay Sefer, it's a Klaf. Sefer, it's a story.
Exactly. Says the Gemara now, Rabbanan, Hai V'chasav Mai Darish Bay. What do they learn from the word V'chasav? So I guess they're saying, since they're not darshaning Sefer at all, initially Sefer doesn't limit anything, so V'chasav doesn't need to include anything. And V'chasav obviously means you can write anything you want. There's no limitation. There's no rules here. So what drasha are they making from the word V'chasav? So Gemara explains, Hahumi Bailei, that word V'chasav is needed for the following. B'chsiva miskareshes ve'ina miskareshes b'kesef. Dafka v'chasav, only writing is used to divorce a wife. But using money? You can't pay her to get divorced. That doesn't work. That's a dafka v'chasav, not kesef. Sakadat techamina, because you would have thought maybe kesef should work. Why? Ho'il v'iskesh yitzia lahavaya. Yitzia means leaving, exiting, get. Havaya means entering, talking about kedushim. Since we have a hekesh of yotzav ha'isa, the pasuk says. Yotzav ha'isa is a connection of get to kedushim. So since you have such a hekesh, you might have thought, ma havaya b'kesef, just like kedushin is performed and can be performed with kesef, you give kesef to a woman and you marry her, af yitzia b'kesef, one may have thought through the hekesh of yotzav ha'isa, giving kesef to a woman might also work to divorce her. Kamash Milan, the pasuk v'chasef says, no, only ksiva works, but not kesef. Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, hi Svar Minale. How does Rabbi Yossi Aglieli learn this Svar? How does he know that only writing works but not kesef? Says the Gemara, Misefer Krisis Nafkale. From the word Sefer Krisis now, meaning Sefer Korsa, Vein Dever Acha Korsa. Only a Sefer could disconnect the two of them, but something else, a Dever Acha, that's not a Sefer, in our case, money, does not work to separate the two of them. Ve'idach. What does Rabbanan do with the word Sefer Krisis? Idach Rabban hold hahumi bailei the davar hakoris beina leveina, that when they separate from each other, nothing else could be connected. They have to be completely separated from each other. Not to say that only a sefer works and not kesef, because that's learned from the word v'chasav. Sefer krisis means it has to be complete division between the two. Meaning, the Tanya, the Braisa tells us, harei gitech amanas shelo tishayayin, and he says to his wife, this is your get on the condition that you never drink wine. Or he says to her, v'amanas shelo telch lebeis avich. This is your get on condition you don't go back to your father's house. Liolam, forever. Ain't that Croesus? That's not Croesus. He still has his strings attached. He said, listen, you're divorced from me, but you still can't do that. I still have control of you. That's not Croesus. That's still having control. That doesn't work. How does he know that? Because the pasuk says, save for Croesus. You have to completely cut her off. But the Braisa continues, if he says, kol shloshim yom, I raise a Croesus. If he says to, listen, this is your divorce on the condition that you don't drink wine for 30 days. Or on the condition you don't walk to your father's house in 30 days, that's allowed. Because although for the 30 days he still has control, after 30 days he'll lose control and they'll be completely separate from each other. Such a get will work. And this Bryce is learned out from the word Sefer Krisis. There has to be complete separation. The idach, Mikaris Krisis Nafka. The other opinion, I can't follow who we're using right now. This is now Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, right? He says that he learns that out, not from the word Sefer Krisis, but the fact that the Pasuk could have said Sefer Karis, and instead says Sefer Krisis, that change of Karis to Krisis, that's the drush he makes from those two extra letters of Krisus, the end. And Idach, the Rabbanan say Karis Krisis Lo Darshe. The word Karis and Krisis, you can't make a drush from those two different words. You feel the draft? See, I told you.
It is open.
Ah, okay.
It's cold in here, no?
Yeah, I feel a little bit of a trap. I guess he likes it like that. Who am I to adjust the temperature? Okay. New Mishnah. Ha'osa sukaso bein ha'ilanos v'ha'ilanos defanos lakshera. Let's say a person makes a sukkah between the trees and on the ground between the trees. But he uses the trees as walls. So I actually considered doing this, not seriously, but in my house, we have the corner house, we have trees, we have the soso, we used to have much higher trees. I was considered like using my trees as walls and like building a nice big sukkah in my whole yard. I wasn't really serious about that, but this mission discussed if you wanted to use your trees as walls and just build a schach above, one may do that. Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov kol mechita she'ena yuchal la'amar b'ruach metzuya, ena mechita. Any wall that is not able to endure a common wind, let's say 10-mile-per-hour winds, it can't, then it's not going to be considered a mechita. So Gemara asks, well, in light of that statement, look at our Mishnah. Tanan ha'osa sukasa ben ha'ilanos, v'ha'ilanos defanos la k'shera. Using trees is good, but v'ha ka'azavasi, they move back and forth. It doesn't stay strong, doesn't stay sturdy. This Gemara is very important for using the canvas sukkahs that move back and forth in the wind. This Gemara is very important whether or not a person can use that, and if they do use it, what's the best way to use it? So either way, so how can you use these trees? The trees move, they sway back and forth from the wind. Says the Gemara, Hach b'mayaskinan b'kushin. It's talking about hard, strong branches, strong trees. If you have like redwood trees in California, those aren't moving. If you have strong trees like that, then that's a case where you're allowed to use it. But v'ha ikan nofe? But what about the branches? You're right, maybe the bulk of the tree, the base, is pretty very sturdy. But they still have branches that move. The branches are lighter and weaker, so there's still going to be some movement depending how high the tree is, how much you need to use. So it still moves. Says the Gemara, the Avid lay behutzva dafna. So how do they explain this? That they filled in the areas, they held it down, they strapped it down, I guess, with leaves? Or they just fill in the area? I mean, what, they have a picture, they must have a picture, right?
Filled in the area.
Filled in the area that's where the branches are.
Uh-huh, because here you have branches, here you do not have branches. So here it won't move, so you filled it up.
You filled it up.
Yeah.
Looks like they made some type of, they wove it together.
No, it's different. It's not belong to the tree, whatever they add.
Right, so the way I have it here, is this Rashi talking? Let's see. Yeah, you weave it together, right?
Right.
Exactly. You weave it together in a way so it doesn't stay strong.
The tree itself, the branches. Itself.
So what they do, a person who has a canvas walls, what you should do is they have these straps. They wrap the straps around, so that keeps
it. That's why the sukkah come with the strap.
Yes, exactly. Right. But those straps are not necessarily to keep it from going. Those straps are actually used as lovered walls. Remember, you have less than three tefachim in between, so you have a pole going across. That's and another pole. Another pole. And if it goes within 10 tefachim, you have three straps, you've built yourself a wall. The canvas is simply there for nice or to keep you protected, but the real wall is not the canvas. The real wall are the straps that go across.
But I don't think so. The sukkah is saying to the kasha because those straps are not 3 feet from each other. You have at the bottom, and maybe that's from the bottom to the middle. Maybe it's separate 3 feet. I'm not sure.
Not 3 feet. Less three tefachim. You need a foot.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But definitely, there's nothing between the middle to the highest.
Right. Once you get to 10 tefachim, you don't need anything more. 10 tefachim is around 40 inches. Once you get to 3.5 feet, that's a wall. Whatever's above is completely meaningless.
Ah, okay. So it's good.
Exactly. Now
they know what
they're
doing.
Right. They know what they're doing. Says the Gemara now. Ihach, if that's the case, that they wove together the trees and making it more sturdy, my remember, what's the chiddush? Of course, if they weave it together, that's a wall. What's the chiddush here? Says the Gemara, Mahu Desema, what would you have thought? Nigzer Dilma Asilish Temusha B'ilan. There's a concern that you might come to use the Ilan. Rashi says, Lohaniach Alav Kalev. The halach is, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you cannot use a tree. You can't climb a tree. You can't lean on a tree. You can't use a tree because there's a concern you might break a branch. So there is a concern. If you use trees as walls, I might put my jacket on the tree. That's not allowed. Gzer Medir Banan. So maybe you shouldn't be able to use a tree at all. Says the Gemara that you're allowed to use a tree as long as it doesn't move back and forth in the wind and it's sturdy. You can use the wall. You could use the wall as a sukkah, and we're not concerned that you might use the tree for your kelim. No, I know that's my wall. I'm not going to hang my jacket on it. But that's the havmina why you would think it wouldn't work. Kamashman, you are allowed to use such a tree. Says the Gemara, Tashma, Hayasham ilan ogeder. You have a tree or you have a fence, or mechita sakanim, or you have some type of mechita built of reeds. Nido mishum diyumad. You could use it as a diyumad. If you remember, diyumad was, you have the case of the well there, the bore. Right. So diyumad, the four corners, you have these little small beams. each one, as long as it's a tefach in both directions, you could use it as two walls. Each corner is two walls, and you have this special mechitza. So one of them has a mechitza sakanim. It's a very nice picture. See the little reed, the little bamboo shoots coming out of the ground? So that's one of the cases you're allowed to use for a diumad.
What picture are you
looking at? I have one, at least in my, let's see. It's the third picture of the well, but we have different ones. May turn the page, maybe. Do you have one of the corners one with, yeah, you see the bottom right? So there's reeds, that case we're concerned with. So we could use it as a diumad, which is a type of mechitza. The question is, how could you use this as mechitza? Is it going to sway back and forth in the wind? So the Gemara says, no, hasam nami mishum da'avile behutu v'dafna. You wove it in such a way where it's not going to move. Tashma, the Gemara asks another question. Ilan de hamesach al haaretz. You have a tree that bends over onto the ground. Im ein nofa gavah min haaretz. If the branch which bends over is not three eno gavah min haaretz shlosha tvachim metalton tachtav. If the last branch is within three tvachim of the ground, we view that as connecting to the ground, and you have a full mechitza. You're allowed to carry within that. It must be a nice picture here, right?
Yeah.
Right. They have these trees in Israel. I remember going on these tulim. In certain areas, we have these trees. Your mom is like enclosed within a tree, like a little cave almost. So you have the trees hanging over, and as long as the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, you have an enclosed area you're allowed to carry within on Shabbos. So, same question. When asks, am I, why are you allowed to carry within this tree? Ha-ka-azil v'asi. You're also the trees, the branches are swaying back and forth. You have to have a stationary tree. Answer the Gemara, ha-sam nami, davar le-behut v'dafna. You wove them together in a way where it doesn't move in the wind. Ihachi natalta bakula. If it's real good mechita, then you should be allowed to carry in the entire space below the tree. It's a massive tree. But alama amaravahuna breda vishua, we're going to see in a second, there's a limit of how much you're allowed to carry. Ein metaltan bo ella base sasayim. You're only allowed to carry within a certain amount of space, which is called base sasayim. Question is, should we go to the Mishnah? It's all continuous, though.
No, let's go on to the Mishnah.
You should go to the Mishnah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. If the guy's from tomorrow, they need more. If Harry comes tomorrow, so then we'll I'll review for him. So, El Beis Hasayim. So, if we're saying that these this tree with the branches hanging down is a good wall, so then you should be able to carry within the hole as much as you want. Why is there a limit? You're only allowed to carry Beis Hasayim. So, the Gemara says, Mishum Dehavid Dira Shetashmisha La'avir. Michal Dira Shetashmisha La'avir Ein Metalten Bo El Hasayim. It's a special klal, if you remember from the Gemara's in Erevin, that when a space is used for the avir, it's used simply for the airspace, for a garden or a lake, these types of things, you're only allowed to, well, not a lake, you can't walk in a lake, obviously, but when things are just an open garden or open field, you're only allowed to carry up until Beis Hasayim, and not more than that. That's a special klal. So this too, also, this tree, no one's living there. It's a tree, it happens to be enclosed within the tree, but has the same din where it's limited. And not because it's a weak wall, it's a real wall, it's a special other, it's a special gzera as to why you can't carry for more than this space. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tashma, Shavas Batal. Person, he sits on a little mound for Shabbos. Shugavu Asarat, 10 Tfachim high. Fu Me'arba Amos Ad Beis Hasayim. And it could be any width from 4 amos until base asayim. It could be any distance. Or v'chein b'neko, it's in a little valley, a little crack in the ground. Shu amokasar, it's 10 tefachim deep. V'hu b'arba amos ad base asayim. It's anywhere between 4 amos wide till base asayim. V'chein kamak tsur, let's say you have a field that you person harvested and cut down all the wheat. V'shibolos makivas osam. And the corners, the outer borders of the field, the stalks were left up. So you're basically enclosed by the borders. All these three cases, mahalich askula, you'll have to walk the whole area. Bechutzla alpaim ama, and you get an additional 2,000 amos of the tchum outside these three cases. Afagav de kazav asi, even though that the reeds and the trees are moving back and forth, you're still allowed to use them as a mechitza. Says the Gemara, "Hasam nami da'avile behuta v'dafna." So too, it's a case where you wove together the reeds in a way where it didn't move from the wind, and that's how you established a wall. Okay, stop here a little bit earlier.